Galatians 5. I'm going to read verses 1 through 12, then we'll have our corporate prayer together, and Landon is going to teach. And the theme for our Storyteller series is we seek the flourishing of all people in all places. It's for everyone everywhere. So let's stand together as we read God's word. Again, I'll read Galatians chapter number 5, beginning in verse 1. Paul writes and says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever it is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish that those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves." This is God's word. Good luck with that passage. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and justice. Holy Spirit, as we gather together, please shape us with your story. Help us to carry your name into our homes, our work, and the community you have placed us in. We ask all this for the fame of your name and the flourishing of your church and the world around us. Amen.
Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. As John mentioned, we are wrapping up our Storyteller series this morning. And throughout this series, there's been a statement each week. And you can actually find those seven statements on our website that really kind of define who we want to be as a church. So oftentimes at Restoration Church, we say that church is a people who, not a place where. And so these statements define who we want to be as a people. And today, as John mentioned, we want to be a people who seek the flourishing of all people and all places. And in doing so, by seeking the flourishing of all people and all places, we're storytellers, telling the true story of the world as we believe God has told it, and carrying his name, therefore, in all of our lives. So I'm excited about this morning. We'll be in Galatians 5, which should be a fun passage, like John mentioned. Before we dive in, though, I have a question for you. Have you ever judged somebody in a way where you kind of like price check them? Like, someone does something to you, or you're around somebody, and so you look at them and you kind of have this moment where you're dictating their value, where you kind of are like, here's where I am and here's where you are. Like, I don't know if it's intelligence or how they look or smell or the way they dress or different things, but we periodically judge people and we kind of assess their worth and their value. Have you ever done that? A lot of nodding heads. Okay, me too. Periodically, every now and then, a few times a day. A few years ago, Chelsea and I, my wife, were driving back from Phoenix to Prescott, and we were hungry, so I wanted some Chick-fil-A. So we pull up into this Chick-fil-A, and there's a nice parking spot in the front, and I had a truck at the time, so I park in, and I parked just perfectly. Like, I got out, and I examined it. I stepped back, and it's, like, on each side. It's, like, perfect amount of space in between the lines. I did a great job. I get out. I'm looking forward to my chicken sandwich. I start walking in, and then this guy like slams the door and comes running out and starts yelling. And I'm like, what is up with that freak? He keeps coming, and now he's yelling at me about my parking job. And I'm like, hey, I just stood behind my truck and looked, and it was perfect. And then I realize he's the idiot that owns the blue Corvette next to me, and he's parked totally sideways. And his car is like over the line a little bit, so I kind of had to squeeze out of my door. And he starts yelling and he's going, hey, if I had a big old truck like that, I'd park out in the middle of nowhere so people don't have to deal with this. And I'm like, yeah, if I had a little tiny car, I'd have no trouble at all parking in between the lines like we're all supposed to do. It's not really that complicated. And in that moment, I'm like, what is wrong with this guy? Like, I was judging him hard. Like, did you fall a lot growing up or what happened? And then the way the car was angled, his girlfriend couldn't get into the car. And I'm like, I did her a favor. She shouldn't be in the car with you. Like, driving is not your forte. In that moment, I definitely was price checking him according to my own kingdom. And something that we need to understand is that this book, right, and our God, our King, he actually gives us a lot of space for debate and discussion on a lot of different things in life. But when it comes to people and their value, God gives absolutely zero space, zero amount of time or space for discussion on the value of people. So maybe another way to think about it is this. If I then, after I dealt with the idiot in the blue Corvette, walked into Chick-fil-A and said, I still have this chicken sandwich on my mind, and it's a combo number 5, that's what I want, but it's $9. I don't really want to pay $9. I can't go into Chick-fil-A and be like, hey, that number 5 looks great. I've been thinking about that chicken sandwich all day. But I don't want to pay that price, so today the number 5 is on sale, 50% off. So I'm going to have that for $5 instead of 9 just because I'm going to discount it today. Like, you can't do that. You can't discount somebody else's product. Yet I think as people, we try to discount God's product pretty frequently. In Genesis 1 and 2, we read that God is the creator and we are the creation, and that every single person he has made in his own image. In the image of God, we were created, male and female. That's pretty astonishing, yet look at our history as mankind. Look at our lives on a day-to-day basis. We judge, we price check, we try to dictate people's values. And in that moment, I think what God was telling me is, no, no, no. Landon, you don't get to say what this guy's worth. Maybe you should pay for him to go to driving school or something, but you don't get to say what he's worth. And in Galatians 5, we're going to see Paul urge the Galatians and us as the church to seek the flourishing of all people in all places. And really, there's 3 steps, I think, that Galatians kind of lays out for us in order for us to really embrace seeking the flourishing of all people in all places. Step 1 is to price check yourself. You have to understand that you find your security, you find your value in who God is and what he's done for you and what he says about you. We'll talk about that more. Step 2 is that you need to price check everybody else, not according to the value you determine or dictate for them, but according to the value that God gives. And then lastly, you need to check your lyrics, and that makes no sense at all, but it'll make sense at the end. So let's dive back in to Galatians chapter 5. It says this. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So it's important to remember, really, anytime we're reading in Scripture, that the author's writing to a specific group of people, in this case, Paul to the Galatians. And the Galatians were primarily Gentiles, yet there were some Jewish people there. And what we're learning here is that this church, this people following Jesus, were being influenced by a false teacher who was teaching these people to embrace the ways of the Jewish people, the laws and the customs and the rituals, one of which it talks about a lot here is circumcision. And so we've talked about that before, that circumcision is a lot like a wedding ring in that it's a symbol. Like this wedding ring symbolizes my covenant to my wife, and she has one that symbolizes her covenant to me. Circumcision symbolized the covenant between God and his people, that God would be their God and that they would be his people, that he would provide, that his character would come through, that he would be gracious and merciful, abounding in steadfast love, just, forgiving. Circumcision was a symbol. And the people took it very seriously because God told them to. But it became something more than just a symbol. It eventually became what they thought of as their way to God, as their way of earning God's love and acceptance. And sometimes religion does that. 2 weeks ago, when I preached, we talked about the tale of two kingdoms that Jesus gave us in Luke 12. And I want to bring up this slide. really, Jesus gave us a compare and contrast. There's the kingdom of Yahweh God, our God's named Yahweh, and he has a certain character. Who he is described in Exodus 34. We read a description again in the psalm we read at the beginning of the morning. God is gracious. God is merciful. He's abounding in steadfast love. He's forgiving, yet he's just. He won't let evil reign. That's who God is. And the progression in this kingdom, the kingdom of God, is there's a certain expectation you can have. If you're a part of the kingdom of God, you can trust in the character of God. Trusting in who he is leads to security. Because you're not trusting in you, you're not trusting in anything else but him, and he's God and he'll provide. That allows for simplicity and sight, for opportunities to see then, or opportunities to see how to love people, how to carry the name of Jesus in all of life. And when we're carrying the name of our God, that promises flourishing in his kingdom one day soon, because he's promised to come back and restore all things to the way they were meant to be. On the other hand, the opposite of this is this progression we see in the kingdom of any other king. And we talked about all the different other kings that we serve, kingdoms that we're a part of. It could be retirement. It could be pleasures. It could be identity or a title that you want to have or experiences or relationships. But we serve other kingdoms, and those kingdoms result in something totally different. Rather than security, any other kingdom is going to result in fear, anxiety, and wanting. Because you're always going to be searching, always looking, and never finding. Because any other king but Jesus himself is always going to overpromise and underdeliver. And you're going to end up with tunnel vision because you're desperate for that security. You're desperate for that contentment. So you're going to have one thing on your mind, finding it, this thing missing in your life, which is going to lead you to be blind to all other people because you're having to deal with yourself. Blindness causes you to carry the name of your insufficient king, and carrying the name of any other king but Yahweh God results in losing everything eventually, because that king demands everything and will offer nothing in return. And so what that has to do with Galatians is this: circumcision represents a different kingdom, the kingdom of religion, the kingdom of attempting to earn God's love and grace and forgiveness. It's a way of earning. And what Paul is saying is you can't be a member of a different kingdom. That kingdom leads to losing everything eventually. If you're going to follow Jesus because he is enough. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. Take that in for a second. That's a pretty big statement. Possibly, or really at best, what Paul is saying is if you accept circumcision, if you pursue religion and trying to be a good person or anything else other than faith in Jesus, then at best what you're saying is Jesus on the cross is insufficient. At best what you're saying is Jesus is insufficient. At worst what you're saying is Jesus on the cross is worthless. That if you accept circumcision, the Christ will be of no advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. If you're going to be a part of that kingdom, Paul says, then go all the way. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Paul says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. It's a false teacher. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view, and the one who is troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. I wish they'd just go all the way. I wish they wouldn't pretend to be a part of this and try to mix these two kingdoms, because you can only belong in one. You're either in the kingdom of any other king but Yahweh God, or you're in the kingdom of God. And we saw the progressions that those two different kingdoms lead to. For freedom, Christ has set us free. The kingdom of God results in security. Security results in freedom. How did he do that? Well, he left his throne in heaven and allowed himself to be hung on a cross. And it's in that moment that God again repeats himself and says, I alone dictate your value. I dictated your value when I created you, and I said, in the image of God. No other part of creation was made in the image of God. In the image of God, you will be created. And then though you rejected me, I'm going to leave my throne and let my divine blood be shed on this cross because I love you that much. And so the first step to seeking the flourishing of all people in all places is recognizing that you can find security and contentment, that you can be whole and be valued as you were meant to be, as you were created to be, only in Jesus. So what this means is that your father and your mother, they don't dictate your value. Your kids don't dictate your value. Your successes or failures, your workplaces, the things you're good at or the things you're bad at. Nothing anybody says has any bearing on your value. Now that's really hard to believe because culture tells us a lot of things about how valuable we are or aren't and what makes us valuable or not. But we have to understand very clearly what Jesus says is nobody can discount my product. I alone say how valuable you are, and you are so valuable that I was willing to give up my life on a cross. We seek the flourishing of all people in all places. Step number one to that is finding security. Is price checking yourself and understanding I am worthy because God said I am. In this next section, Paul really leads us to the second step, which is to price check everybody else. So now that we find security, what do we do? Paul tells us in verse 13, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but, here's the answer, through love, serve one another. So again, in the kingdom of God, we have security, we have freedom. As a result, we have sight to see and ears to hear opportunities to carry the name of Jesus. Because you're secure, because you're free, because Jesus alone dictates your value, serve one another in love. For the whole law, all of the Old Testament, right? Everything they were trying to do and accomplish in what circumcision symbolized. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And in verse 16, Paul then goes on to tell us or give us a description of the characteristics we should embody as members of the kingdom of God and characteristics that we should avoid. Notice as we read this section, there's another compare and contrast. It's another tale of two different kingdoms. When the word flesh is used, it describes the kingdom of any other king but Jesus. And when the word spirit is used, it's talking about the character of Yahweh God. And so this progressions of those two kingdoms apply here. It says this, but I say, walk by the spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you as I warned you before that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you know why people do those things? Because they don't have security, because they don't have contentment, because they're searching and they're not under the dominion of the true king. But the fruit of the Spirit, so the result of being a member of the kingdom of God, the way that we're supposed to act, the characteristics that we are called to embrace, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. No one argues with those characteristics and attributes. And so because we have security, because we have freedom, we're then able to see other people's stories and to say we care. Why? Because we're price checking everybody else. We're saying you are loved. So much so that God himself gave up his life for you on a cross. And therefore you deserve, because God has said this is how valuable you are and no one else can dictate that, to be treated with love and joy. We should be bearers of peace and patience. We should be offering kindness and goodness. We should be faithful and true, gentle and self-controlled. We're able to do that because of who Jesus is and what he has done. And those who belong to the Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another and envying one another. We seek the flourishing of all people in all places. This is the way that we tell the true story of the world. We recognize that we're taken care of because of who God is. And then in everything we do, and our vocations and our hobbies, the people that are our strangers that we come across, those that are closest to us, we price check and we say, you are valuable. And nobody else can change your price. God himself has said it, so I'm going to seek what's best for you. I'm going to seek goodness. I'm going to try to help you flourish because that's what I'm called to do. Step one, price check yourself. Step two, price check everybody else. We continue in chapter 6. It says this, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. Again, why can we bear one another's burdens? Because we have security that God is going to provide for ours. And so then we have eyes to see the opportunities to carry the name. And so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Again, the kingdom of any other god leads to corruption. It leads to losing everything eventually because that king is a fraud. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. We have security in him. And this part's key. And let us not grow weary of doing good. It's not going to be easy, but let us not grow weary of doing good. For in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. So to be storytellers, we're called to seek the flourishing of all people and all places. Step one, price check yourself. Know that you are loved. No one else gets to dictate your value. Step two, price check everyone else. You don't get to determine anybody else's value. God has already done that. And so based on that value, we should treat people accordingly. Step three is check your lyrics. Here's what I mean by that. When I pulled up to Chick-fil-A, and the man that doesn't know how to drive parked terribly next to me, and then decided to yell at me because he doesn't know how to drive, I price checked him, right? Not in a nice way. In reality, my life, my words, my actions were singing a song. But I think the song that I was singing was Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Don't you dare forget how valuable I am to this Jesus. Like, I parked fine. What's wrong with you? I think the song for him wouldn't go, Jesus loves me this. I know. I think it'd go something like, Jesus kind of loves you and puts up with you most of the time because you don't know how to drive. See, I think we only really sing Jesus loves you outward to our kids. Sometimes I sing that to my kids at night. I sing, Jesus loves you. But I think to the rest of the world, oftentimes, maybe if we're honest, most often, we sing Jesus loves me, loud and clear. Don't you forget it. Don't you mistake it. Remember how important I am and that Jesus said so. And the way we live, the words we speak, just we're constantly trying to surround ourselves with being valued because we're not paying attention to what Jesus has already said. We don't need to seek value in anything else. He's already said what you're worth, his blood shed on the cross. And so we're not just called to sing Jesus loves you to our kids in the way we live, in the words we use, and the way we use our resources. We are called to sing Jesus loves you to the world around us, not just at church, but in our homes, with our friends, in our workplaces, in our hobbies, with people we're familiar with and love, and with strangers, with people we even don't like. You know why? Because God said, I've set the price, and nobody else can discount my product. What does this look like practically? Next time you pull into a restaurant, yeah, grab that spot, and then rush to the door and say, you know what, whoever's about to come in this door, I'm going to open it up because they have been valued by God Almighty. Next time you walk into your house and you walk in and see your spouse or vice versa or whoever lives there, price check. And remember, God has set their value. Next time you're at work and a coworker frustrates you, price check. Doesn't mean you don't deal with issues or avoid conflict, but you price check and remember, this is what God has said about that person. In all places, with all the people that you come across, price check. What's the value that God has placed on this person? Because it's equal for everybody from everywhere. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. We seek the flourishing of all people in all places. May we be a people who have price checked ourselves and recognize the value God has set for us. May we be a people who are in the practice constantly of price checking others. And may we check our lyrics and make sure we're not just singing Jesus loves me. That's needed. God makes that clear. But we need to be singing Jesus loves you with our lives and words to everybody around us. May we be a people who seek the flourishing of all people in all places. Let's pray. Father, you are good. I thank you for your character. I thank you that we can place our hope and our trust in you. God, I pray that you would just reveal yourself to us more and more, that you'd make us so aware of your love and your strength and your goodness and your character, that we would find our security completely in you. And as we do that, God, may it result in seeing, looking for, hearing opportunities to carry your name, your grace, your mercy, your compassion, your steadfast love, your forgiveness, and also to seek out justice. With every person that we come across, Father, may we seek their flourishing because you have said they're valuable. May you not allow us to listen to or believe any lies about our own value, to let anyone else speak to our value, but to rest in who you are and what you've done and what you have said about us. May we, as a people, as a church united in our following of you, let the world know how much you love them. May you lead us in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.